Hi guys, thanks for this episode of New Gigan Times. In this episode, we have awesome guests. We have Them Fantasies. Them Fantasies is a Los Angeles-based alternative indie rock trio with an emphasis on the source, formed in late 2017 in Boston. Founding members Dominic and Eric met at Berklee College of Music and began to blend their two very contrasting musical backgrounds with drummer Max. Merging their styles gives Them Fantasies a unique indie rock, pop, and funk blend with an unmistakably contemporary sound. Welcome, guys, and thanks for coming on my podcast.
Woo! Thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure.
Cool.
Yeah, to introduce ourselves, I'm Max, and my name is Dominic. I am the lead singer and bass player.
I'm Eric, guitarist and background vocals.
And I'm the drummer. I forgot to mention that. Right off
the Amazing, guys. How's it all been going over there?
It's going good. We just took a walk outside to jog some creativity out here. Just trying to get out of the house where we work and eat and sleep and relax all in the same 1300 square feet, you know?
Yeah.
So that was, it's nice to get out.
Yeah, we love each other, but we need space just to be out in nature or as close to nature as we can get in our whole neighborhood. But like, yeah, that's what we've been doing today.
Yeah.
How's life, affected you, I guess, personally, professionally, and as a group since the pandemic's begun?
Oh, it's been, well, you know, it's been all over the place, of course, like many other people. But for us, it's really, in terms of the band and what it's done to the band, obviously, like every other musical or performing arts group, it stopped live performances, you know, which is what our main thing definitely is, at least at this point in our careers right now and who we are as musicians. You know, we're all performers at heart. But it really made us take a turn and focus more on like songwriting more than we ever have and more into, you know, what our lyrics mean and, you know, using our power as songwriters rather than instrumentalists to come up with, you know, songs that can resonate with lots of other people besides ourselves and other, you know, technical, musical understanding people like that. You know, we wanted to focus more on our songwriting and this pandemic has done that. What about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, you know, losing out both on, you know, our favorite thing to do, which is performing, also losing out on, like, the money from performing, you know, that's how I make a living. So it was obviously a little bit difficult. We moved to Los Angeles during the pandemic. So immediately from the get-go, we were just kind of stuck in the house, trying our best to explore the city while it was, like, pretty much completely closed. But, yeah, as Dom said, we really took that time to, like, focus on our content creation on TikTok, which actually helped us get, like, a pretty good following out there. And focus on our songwriting, you know, write a lot, you know, focus on lyrics and, you know, honing our craft.
Yeah, that's one thing that I forgot to mention was we definitely took all of our pandemic anxieties and frustrations out into TikTok and other short form videos that we've been putting up on our Instagram as well as TikTok. And those have been going well for us, building up, you know, more of a fan base than we ever have before.
I mean, the only thing I'd add on is, like, you know, when you're limited by something, you have to find creative solutions around it. And we're all like, okay, we can't do this thing, so let's focus our energy in something we can equally be creative with and push us in a different direction. Other than that, the boys perfectly encapsulate how I feel, you know?
That's incredible. Thanks for sharing, guys. It's really insightful. I guess, tell me how you all met and specifically, I guess, the journey, how it's actually transpired from initially to where it is now. As a group.
It was a long one.
Yeah.
So Dom and I met the first day of Berklee.
Yep.
We ended up living like right next to each other in the dorms. And so naturally we met the first day. We were like, oh shit, we're at music school. We should jam. And we kind of quickly realized we had not the same backgrounds, but like similar backgrounds as far as like rock and interest in more harmonically complex music. And so pretty quickly, we started writing together. We had an original drummer that was my roommate at the time. And we wrote a couple songs, got through our first year at Berklee, and he dropped out of Berklee. So we got a new drummer, changed our band name to Them Fantasies, and started, you know, that's kind of when we consider Them Fantasies as the project to have started. So that
the
was,
early versions of it, at least.
Yeah, so that was probably like later 2017. And from there, we wrote a bunch of songs with each other with our second drummer. His name is Steven. And we met Max when we studied abroad in Spain. Our drummer couldn't make it, and he sat in with us. And we came back, released our debut album, Caffeine Queen, in like 2019, went on a tour. And after our third year at Berkeley, he left. And we, Max knew all our music. He was like our best friend at the time.
Came back,
got back together with the ex-girlfriend. It was fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was really good adding him, because for our first two drummers that we had worked with, it was really like me and Dom writing everything, doing the whole project. And they were just kind of there to you know, hit their drums.
Absolutely. And sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. It's also been, you know, when it's just Eric and I doing it together, you know, in those early years of the band, you know, 2017 to even 2019, you know, we really consider it a different, you know, phase of the band and an earlier version of what the project has turned into.
Yeah.
You know, we've kept the name, of course, and kept some of the songs. But you know, it feels like our work hasn't really started, and we haven't really started with who we are now as musicians and the direction that we're trying to go with this project until recently, until we've even moved out to Los Angeles. Because it's hard, you know. Eric and I had a particularly hard time trying to balance, you know, schools and schoolwork and other musical, you know, elements of our lives. Like, all three of us play in different projects as well, and you know, we write for other artists as well. We're all songwriters, you know, in the industry besides this project. And you know, she's kind of finding the right balance on top of going to school full time was hard for Eric and I.
Yeah.
So now that we are out of school and we're able to put all of our effort into it, it has really been what I consider to be like the, you know, the first real, like, you know, we're up to the plate, you know, we're batting now, you know, we're not in the dugout anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. You can definitely just feel that energy too. Obviously, listening to some music, it's amazing, and I can see where you guys are at now. So you can see you're on this trajectory now where things are really starting to get that momentum and really going to start to kick some real massive goals in the future. So that's the way I can see it right now. Tell me about your music specifically, and obviously the new song that's come out, Nice Guy. Talk to me about the motivation and the inspiration behind the songs.
Absolutely. Well, these songs in particular, our songwriting and the style of music that we play has evolved a pretty good amount since we started. Our release in 2019, Caffeine Queen, was a lot more alternative rock and progressive rock based. You know, we have interesting time signatures on there, and we have a lot heavier tones than we would use now. And melodically, it has some very interesting things that are very unique and cool, and we like that. But the direction that we're kind of going in now is flirting with more contemporary elements and other bands outside of the genre. Like, all of us, you know, listen to so much Anderson .Paak now, you know, who's entirely outside of our genre, but he's one of our, you know, biggest musical influences right now. And these songs that are coming out on our upcoming EP that all of these songs are going to be out on, which comes out tentatively November 5th, it's called How Modest. All of them are very introspective, you know. All of these lyrics on these five songs, including Spoiled AF and Nice Guy, they're all introspective in the terms of they are what we see, they are how we feel inside, you know. And it's partly a reflective element of when we moved out to Los Angeles and during the pandemic, how we feel about so many things that are just out of our control, you know.
So, like, in Nice Guy specifically, you know, we were in college up until a year ago, and obviously it's a pretty big problem with, you know, male accountability. We all had friends that we loved, we thought they were great people, and then all of a sudden we would hear, oh, he's a little bit creepy at parties, or yeah, oh, he's not too cool with girls, and that sucks, and it puts us in a weird place where, you know, we want to be friends with him because we're never going to see that aspect of him, but we also have to trust what we're hearing from other people. And so we wanted to kind of like make a comment from the male perspective of like how to deal with that, of like calling your friend out.
Cause that's important. You know, that's so important to be able to hold your friends accountable, because even if they are your friend and they still treat women in an inappropriate way, and they still, that you still hear these things, you can't just like throw that out the window. You know, you can't just ignore that. And that is the message that we're trying to give, is that, you know, it's important to hold all of your male friends accountable, regardless of how hard it is, regardless if you don't want to say anything because it's your friend. That's not cool. You know, we're not at a point like that anymore. We shouldn't be at a point like that anymore with our society, you know, and that's kind of what we're trying to get at, you know. But that's with Nice Guy in particular, of course.
Yeah. And then going back to Spoil, they released like, you know, about a month and a half ago, like Spoil AF were just kind of commenting on like excessive wealth and just this kind of gross aspect of luxury that we have noticed in circles that we've been around and that we just kind of want
to, moving to LA too.
Moving to LA.
A lot of that shit here.
So we just kind of want to comment and be like, this is really goofy, you know, and this isn't necessarily how things should be, but we were trying to satirize it in a way that wasn't super heavy, but a way that was definitely like a little like thought provoking.
Yeah. And we wanted to make those guys dance too, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very dancey and funky song that we all really love. And it's just funny that, you know, some of the reception that we've seen of that are from those very people that we're kind of talking about. And it's funny being like, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, those guys suck. And it's like, yeah, they do.
For sure. What was the move to LA for? So tell me why you guys moved and got based in LA too.
Our rents expired in Boston.
For no reason, you know.
It's like, I don't know, at least in the U.S., I think there's like two or three places you can really move if you want to be part of like a big music city scene. And we knew we wanted to be part of a scene. You know, we wanted to be in and out with other musicians and have a lot of potential for growth and development. And L.A. seemed like the only real option for us. All of our friends are moving out here. We have a good amount of friends in Nashville, too. We check out both cities pretty extensively, and we felt like this was the right move for us for what the music we're trying to make and the growth we're trying to have.
Absolutely. You know, Max and I are fortunate enough to have some family out here as well, which helps. But at the end of the day, you know, this place just kind of seemed like the right spot for us to go and grow and reflect on ourselves, reflect on our art. And some of the friends that we've made out here, not just in person, but is also through TikTok, you know, has been really, really cool. You know, people that inspire us daily, you know, and it's really cool to see that. And we're really happy to be out here in such a scene where you can be whatever you want. You can be how weird you want. But at the end of the day, people are going to respect that because, you know, it's Los Angeles. People are out here trying to be weird.
Yeah, bro. You can get real weird out here.
I love how weird it is, man. It's you know, everything's on the table and you can just kind of be who you want to be, I find, out here. And that fits us pretty well. I mean, we're not the weirdest bunch of boys you're going to see, but, like, you know, we kind of love being in that vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. What projects are you working on now? So what does the future look like for Them Fantasy? Where is it going?
Well, we released two singles right now. We have a third one coming out October 22nd. Is that right? October
22nd. Let me double check that.
Okay. I think it's October 22nd. So that'll be our third single. And then we're releasing REP.
Yes.
Tentatively November 5th. So that will be our first group of like works that we've released in the past 2 years. The main reason for that was us moving to LA in the pandemic. When we were in school, we had mostly finished these songs and we're going to try to record them. The pandemic hit, the studio shut down, you know, we didn't have a way to record it. And then we had to move out here and do it all again. So it kind of set us back a little bit, but we're super stoked for, you know, just to have this music out and show the world that, you know, we've changed significantly in the past 2 years and we're going in a very cool new direction. And then along with that, we have some other songs that we've written like solely since we've been out here that won't be on the EP, but, you know, we're working with a few different producers, a few different artists. We've getting more interested in
collaborating,
like some co-writes,
joint releases, people. You know, yeah. Joint releases with other artists too.
Just trying to release a lot of music and, you know, show people what we can do.
Yeah. You know, it's been 2 years since Caffeine Queen came out. So this EP could not have come out soon enough, this work of things that we're doing right now. And we already have other ideas that we're going to be releasing as singles after this EP comes out. And we'll be releasing singles pretty frequently throughout 2022 is what it's looking like.
Also got a music video coming out in a week and a half. That's going to be pretty funky. It's for our song Spoil AF we put out back in August. And we shot that video in our yard with a bunch of our friends. But we did it up as best as we could, and we think it's really cool. So we're excited for that coming out.
Yep, October 9th, I believe, is the date that drops.
Oh, yeah. So
music video for Spoiled AF, October 9th is when it drops.
Fabulous. And are you guys doing any tours? Have you got any like that planned, like doing any shows for people, any fans actually come visit you?
Yeah, well, our next show that we have right now is at the Viper Room main stage on October 30th.
The night River Phoenix died.
Yeah, the night River Phoenix died. Wow. Pretty crazy. Weird vibes, but it's gonna be interesting vibes. So
we're super excited. We're headlining. This is our first headlining show in Los Angeles. We've played, I think, 4 shows out here so far. Had pretty good reception. It's been really fun. We loved it. People are just so open to coming out and seeing live music, whether they know you or they don't. They're just super stoked, especially after the pandemic. Everyone's like, fuck, I want to go to a show. I don't care what it is. I just want to see fun music. So that show is going to be really fun.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. So if anybody listening is in the Los Angeles area and wants to come out to West Hollywood, October 30th, doors are at 7.
Yeah. If you need more information, DM us on Instagram. You know, we're more than happy to give you a step-by-step guide on how to get to our show.
For sure.
And also, when it comes to touring as well, I mean, the more shows and at least touring around our regional area is going to be more 2022. We're still kind of getting our feet back on the ground after the pandemic. We've been really focusing on this release process and being around Los Angeles for this, as well as kind of a period of a lot of extra writing as well. So we'll be more and more on the road next year. Hopefully COVID will be even less of a thing, because it just keeps going in waves, and we're back and forth of booking things too far out, because things are looking bad a month and a half ago. And then 4 months ago is also looking bad. So you don't really know. So we're like, okay, let's stay local for a minute.
Exactly. But the touring, we've done 2 tours before, and they were very DIY and they were very fun, and we broke even, and we were lucky enough to do that. Barely break even.
They were super fun.
And they were fun, and they were really crusty, and they were definitely the way that we were supposed to do it at that time, But right now, I think as far as touring goes, we're more so trying to land a spot as an opening band, because I think the headlining tours right now for us just doesn't seem like the most viable or lucrative option. And we have a lot more shows to play around here in the LA and California area before we do more things.
Yeah. Don't worry, we're eventually going to get back on the road, though.
We'll be around, but...
Yeah, for sure. Definitely the way you guys are headed on the road. What are your guys' hobbies and passions? What do you guys like to do away from the music scene? And what is it?
I cook a lot. I love cooking, and I do it all the time. It's my primary artistic kind of outlet that isn't music. Because when music's your job, it's also an artistic outlet. But cooking to me is just work and leisure, and I love making really things that seem complicated but aren't. But I do it a lot. Mixology, kind of anything around that, I've gotten really into.
Yeah, I was a dancer for 13 to 15 years before, and then I turned 17, 16, and started focusing on other things. But otherwise, for my other creative outlets, I used to play baseball, but I actually act out here. I was just in a movie on Apple TV called Coda, and that has been helpful as well. That's another source of creative output, that we all have.
For me, kind of similar to Dom, I was a hockey player for about 16 years, and I didn't even quit that until I got to college. It was kind of do I do music? Do I do hockey? So for me, when I need a break from being creative, from playing guitar or whatnot, forms of physical activity, exercise, whether it's kind of hard to play hockey out here, I do have all my equipment, but going to the gym, doing a lot of running, was really big into hiking and camping. Just getting out in nature. I'm from a very small town, so sometimes I need to get out of the city and just be in nature. Yeah.
Awesome. What are your, future plans individually as well, with traveling as well? I know you're talking about tours, but where do you guys like to go traveling to? Because I know you just mentioned that you like to go hiking and stuff. Do you guys go on holidays at all, individually, or do you go as a group? What does that look like as well?
Well, we haven't done too many holidays ourselves as a group, but individually, we go home to visit family or go on family vacations whenever they want us to. All three of us are pretty fond of the Nashville area. It's very fun to go and also work with people out there as well.
Nashville.
Nashville's awesome.
I was working there all last week. I just got back. But we also we go there to vacation. Well, it's like half vacation. It's like you hang out with your friends, but you also play some shows or record over there because we have a whole network throughout there. But when it comes to just, you know, blowing off steam, I mean,
like the hiking and camping stuff, that's generally within like a 3-hour radius of Los Angeles. We're not going too far for that yet. Also, like a lot of wildfires out here make it hard to go to Northern California.
We want to get back
to completely honest, like all of the national parks and shit are closed. So
we want to get back to Spain eventually. We sell studying abroad there
in Valencia. Freaking dope.
I don't know. I love being in Europe.
Europe is amazing.
And I think we totally miss being there. So I think that's definitely in our plan for the next coming years.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you guys have any mentors? And if you do, what's some of the best advice you've received, I guess, individually or as a band?
Do we have any what? I'm sorry. What did
mentors?
You
mentors?
Mentors.
Yeah.
Besides our friends that also do artist projects, you know, that have seen more success that we learn from. I can't really think of any off the top of our heads. Like, there's not like people that have like been like, all right, I'm going to take you under my wing. We're going to go to the top, you and I. Like, it's not like that yet, but
I would say it's more like we have a lot of friends out here that we met and who we also knew were out here when we came out here that are like, you know, doing really well in the industry. They're a little bit older. They're doing their thing. And it's really good to like, they're not mentoring us, but like we look up to them and like how they've progressed their craft, and they give us good advice every once in a while. They're like, either, you know, you're doing the right thing, just keep going, or maybe try something different. And we always really like to hear that from people that are, you know, in higher positions than us.
That we trust.
We've got a good amount of friends. Yeah, they're about, you know, 5-6 years older than us. They've been doing it for 5-6 years more than we have. And, you know, we lean on them for advice of just, you know, longevity. Because, I mean, we believe in having, like, we want to have a long, slow-burning career, you know? We're in our, like, early 20s right now. And we want to be able to do this sustainably for a very long time. Because we think we all just think we're meant to be doing this. Which is a privilege and amazing and beautiful. Probably the best piece of advice I've gotten recently is just... don't be afraid of failing. And you keep hearing it over and over and over again, but you just keep, you know, failing is the most important thing for any of our careers. Just keep failing at things and learning from it and getting better. And just like, it's like slowly climbing up a totem pole and falling down a few ledges and coming back up. And it sucks sometimes and it hurts really bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we've all failed a lot as a band and individually. Yeah. You know, we all spent a lot of time getting really good at our instruments as kids and then through college. And a lot of that is failing as well, and then just getting back up. So it's like, it's the tenacity of being able to get right back up on the horse, especially after you fall off.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So couldn't agree more, too. That's 100% spot on. When you were younger, who was the artist that you looked up to and inspired you?
Red Hot Chili Peppers for me.
That was close for me. Honestly, Chris Cornell has had a huge, you know, influence on almost everything that I touch.
For me, probably when I was younger, at least, Stevie Ray Vaughan as a guitar player, it doesn't really get much better than that.
But that's like younger stuff. Like, our music tastes have dramatically changed since those times. I was mentioning earlier, Anderson .Paak is like one of the biggest influences to us right now. Thundercat, you know, is also crazy and so amazing at what he does and different vocabularies that I learned from. You know, it's about, I feel like it's about fusing together things that you like. You know, I was talking to our producer the other day. I don't know a lot of other people that listen to both Thundercat and Queens of the Stone Age, you know, together. It's just very, very different, eclectic influences. Tyler, the Creator, is also huge on us too. All across the spectrum. We just get our vocabulary from a lot of different places at the end of the day.
Yeah, shout out to music school.
Yeah, and also our friends too. We were friends with a lot of musicians that aren't necessarily with like trying to do anything in the genre we're trying to do either. And that's fun because we were just exposed to a lot of different stuff. It's like, you know, we have friends that are super into indie rock, and there's super friends that are super into funk, or friends that are into country. You know, it's like, it's interesting, you know, getting so many different perspectives and seeing how it influences your musicianship and your writing henceforth.
Awesome. Tell me about your TikTok. And what makes a good TikTok that you guys upload?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
Are TikTok asking us what makes it good, or what the audience thinks is good? Because, you know, sometimes it's different.
It's true.
Well, there's, you know, it starts at defining the difference and the similarities to me, at least, between good and successful. You know, what is a good TikTok that we love? We love showcasing our original music in moments where we can and seeing how that is received. Unfortunately, TikTok is an app doesn't really like it as much as we do when we do just original things. They would rather us take something and say, hey, make a parody of this song by Bella Porch, call it Build a Simp, or hey, make a parody by this song by the 1975. Sorry, no, by, what was it? What
it was the Fray, but it's the 1975 did it. So yeah, we did a lot of that where we would like mash up two different bands. We'd take like the style of one band and a song from another. And those tend to do pretty well. Some of them get pretty goofy, but yeah, fuck it.
TikTok is just a humorous kind of output as well. You know, the whole basis of the app, just as entertainment. You know, I get that sometimes people don't want to be preached to with more advertisements saying, hey, go check out my new song. Hey, do this, do that. You know, more call to actions that they already receive in other forms of media. Sometimes they just want to laugh and unwind and have mind-numbing content, you know, thrown to them. And we get that, you know. So we're still finding a middle ground for the things that we want to be putting up on our TikTok, you know.
Yeah, I mean, TikTok is a brand, like our branding on TikTok has changed throughout our course of it. We've been doing it pretty seriously for almost a year now. And we've gone through different phases with it. We've let it affect our mental health in different ways, shapes, or forms. Because you go through big ups and then big downs. It's almost like, it's like, it is a drug, you know?
Yeah.
And it's cool going through it. And we've seen a lot of cool things happen from it. We've met really dear, close friends from it. But we've also, I think we're coming to the point where we just want to make content that we like ourselves. And see what happens with that. Because I think when you're always chasing trends and chasing things that you think people might like opposed to things that you like, that's when you kind of get lost, in my opinion. You start to get unmotivated. So we're all trying to, you know, marry all the things we want and be super stoked about our content in a way that can be viral. Because I think the trick about TikTok is having something that is immediately engaging. And how do you do that? You know, it's like you have like a split second. The way I watch TikTok is I give people like a second of time. It's like, oh, I'm not interested. Like, I'm just flipping. Like, these guys have more patience. I don't.
Yeah. You're the target audience.
I know. I'm the target audience. It's like, man, I just think a good TikTok is immediately engaging. And
yeah, that's what makes
a lot of different things.
That's what makes it good for sure. But it's all about the middle ground. You know, we'll find things. It always goes back up and then always goes back down in terms of viewership. So we'll find things in middle grounds where it's something that is kind of trendy and has potential to go viral, but it's still our originalness. And, you know, finding the balance between those two is, honestly, it just takes a lot of time and it's always different. So it's important to stay open-minded and important to check in with your mental health, you know, while doing it, because it can get brutal.
Biologically, we're not designed for social media, man, you know, but it's also part of the name of the game, and it's an amazing resource as well as an artist. So it's like, what are you going to do? But again, we also are thankful for our success on TikTok. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, we have a lot of mixed feelings about it, but overall, we're glad we've done it, and we're very stoked to keep doing it in the way that we see fit.
Yeah, amazing. Oh yeah, guys, thanks for coming on podcast. I do appreciate it. You guys are doing amazing things. You know, your music's incredible. And I can just, as I mentioned earlier, you're on this massive trajectory now. And just, I'm looking forward to seeing your journey and how far you go. You know, it's amazing.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much for having us. You were absolutely lovely.
All right, thanks, guys. And yeah, we'll definitely keep in touch. When I get over to LA, we'll hook up.
Oh, yes, please. Come by, we'll barbecue and hang out.
100%.